Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
This is Tony Coppell. Good day. And you're about to listen to the first lockdown show on CWCP Radio. It's a week since South Africa has been in lockdown. Yesterday, I left the house for the first time to get some food so that we can carry on for another week. Don't let me suggest that it hasn't been pleasant. I actually quite enjoyed being locked down. Cut my do list in about half. Obviously, I wasn't able to go out and get an interview with anybody this week, but we do have a show for you. On the day that South Africa announced that it had had two deaths from the coronavirus, later, by the way, one of them was found not to be from the coronavirus, Angus Buchan was interviewed on Tygerberg Radio, and a friend sent me the audio. In times of trouble, Angus is a good man to listen to. I'd like you to hear what he said. After Angus, I'd like you to hear what Marie Fourie said to the rest of RS Western Cape on our WhatsApp group. I thought it was wise, I thought it was comforting, and I could feel that the Lord was with her. Our third item in today's program will be a talk by Dr. Will Bulsevich, which Marie also posted on our WhatsApp group. Once again, there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of people speaking on how to protect yourself from the coronavirus. But this was an angle I hadn't heard before, that it doesn't only present with a cough and a temperature. Listen up to that one, too. I think you'll be impressed by Dr. Will. When we finish with those three pieces, I have one or two other interesting things for you. So stay tuned to CWCP Radio.
It's 10 o'clock and you are listening to Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. This morning we heard that the first two people in the Western Cape died due to the coronavirus, COVID-19. Now yesterday the news broke that both Angus Buchan and his wife Jill was diagnosed with the coronavirus, COVID-19. And this morning we have him online. Good morning, Angus. Welcome to Radio Tygerberg.
Thank you, Vaniska. It's always an honor to be with you.
It's very nice to speak to you. Now, yesterday you received the news of your positive status for the coronavirus. Was it a shock?
To be honest with you, because of the nature of my work,
yes.
You know, I'm traveling, my second home is an aeroplane, and that might sound glamorous, but it's not glamorous at all. I've been exposed to all kinds of things for the last 40 years, so it probably doesn't come as a big shock now.
Now, looking at what the coronavirus is doing at the moment, there's so many people that find themselves in an absolute place of hopelessness. You know, they don't know what to do, especially people that don't really have a relationship with God. I think it must be extremely lonely place. Do you think God is busy talking to us as humans across the world using this? I'm not saying that he caused this, but do you think he's using this at the moment to get to our hearts, to read our attention?
Yeah, well, Vaniska, he sure has got our attention.
Definitely.
There's no doubt about that. This is a first ever in the history of this world. I mean, there is nothing ever had the sole attention of the entire globe at one time. But before I answer your question, with your permission and your blessing, I would like to read you two scriptures.
Yes.
Okay, now, ek is 'n boer. I'm working very hard on learning the heavenly language because I've got two granddaughters that study at Stellenbosch.
Oh, wow.
And they said to me, Opa, you must learn Afrikaans because when we get to heaven, that's what we're going to be speaking. And Jesus won't understand you. So anyway, I'm working on it. So I can say praise the Here.
No, there we go.
Say, those two things, yeah. But let's go, seriously, this morning I went for a jog, and by the way, a ride on my bike. I am 100% fit. I have no symptoms. Neither has Auntie Jill. Okay. So that's the first miracle. As I was on my bike this morning, I'm not allowed to leave the farm because I normally cycle on the district roads. I just cycled around the farm. I've never ever heard the birds sing so clearly in my life.
Sure.
I have never ever experienced such absolute Vrede in my life. I didn't hear an aeroplane. I never heard the sound of a tractor, not a bucky, nothing. Nothing.
Sure.
It was unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like that in my whole life. Okay, so that's number one. So God has got our attention. Okay, God has got our attention. Our God is a good God. He doesn't allow a little child to run across the road so that a drunken driver can knock the child down in order to get the attention of the drunken driver. Not the Jesus I serve.
Yeah.
Okay? And not the Jesus you serve. He doesn't look like that. However, because you know I've been through some personal tragedies of my own, in fact many, and this is just another one. But he uses, I'm answering your question, he uses, okay, the things of the world to his advantage always. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. I've been called to his purposes, so have you. And so is Hardest. Okay?
Yeah.
So he'll use every situation. Okay? You know, one guy said, well, why have you got it? And you know what I said, Beniska? I said, why not?
Sure.
And he went quiet. If Jesus was walking on the earth, Beniska, where would he be now? I'll tell you where he'll be. He'll be with the lepers. He will be with the demon-possessed. He will be with the off-scouring of the earth. He will be with the drug addict, the alcoholic, the widow, and the orphan, wouldn't he?
Yes, definitely, no.
Are you sure about that? Because you're a bit quiet.
No, that's definitely exactly what it is, yeah.
That's exactly right. So I have contracted the virus, and so has my dear wife, okay? I want to tell you that I have something in common with millions of people on this planet. Millions, not thousands. Obviously, when I got it, I wasn't happy about it. Why should I be happy about it? I can't see my children, my grandchildren. They're all on the farm, but I'm isolated. I can't leave my house, okay? As it were.
Yeah.
But listen to this. Listen to this. This is the two scriptures. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. But let's go. We can take this tragedy, and we can turn it to good, because God's got a habit of doing that. Remember when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and eventually his brothers were kneeling before him? He said, what you meant for evil, God turned for good.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
The Lord does that every single time. Okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 6, verses 31 and 32. Listen to this. And Jesus said to the disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many who were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Verse 32. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. This horrible plague has caused families to get together. Vanessa?
Yes, definitely. No?
Families that don't speak to each other, families that haven't got anything in common. You know, when I go to some people's houses, it's like a railway station.
Sure.
The kids are coming in, they're going out. Mother doesn't even lay the table anymore, eh?
Yeah. Nope.
Okay, but not now. Now they have to sit together and they have to talk and work out their differences and love each other and pray together and keep their eyes on Jesus. So even though the cattle stalls are empty, okay, the fold The sheepfold is empty, even though there's no figs and there's no fruit on the vine, yet will we rejoice in the Lord our God. I am taking this opportunity, okay?
Yeah.
Because I have never, and are you listening, my I'm not going to call you my sister, you're probably old enough to be my daughter. I have never,
yeah,
in all my 41 years of preaching the gospel, and you know, God is, used us in quite a few things, right? Good things, bad things, ugly things, a whole lot, okay? I have never had a response. I'm talking about It's Time prayer meetings. I'm talking about Mighty Men. I'm talking about stadiums, movies. I've never had such a response from the public for the of concern for the well-being of myself and Tony Joe.
Wow, ne?
Tens of thousands of people, not just from South Africa, right around the world. They're not all Christians.
Sure.
Are you okay? Are we worried about you? Are you all right? Are you? Because we know that your age group is the vulnerable age group for this coronavirus. Are you okay, Umangas? Umangas, we love you. You're our father. Please look after yourself. I've never had such love in my life.
Yeah.
Not even when I lost my little nephew when he fell off a tractor. Not even when I had those two heart attacks in 2009 at Mighty Men. It's been unbelievable. And I want to say to the people, keep on praying. Okay? This virus is going to end. And when it ends, there is going to be a revival. Herleving, is it?
Yeah, Herleving, yeah.
Herleving. That's going to hit this country like it's never ever been seen before. In the history of South Africa, I'm telling you.
But I want to ask you this. You see, on the 22nd of April, 2017, for the It's Time meeting, about 1 million people gathered in Bloemfontein, and we prayed, and we seeked God's face. And I was there. I had the privilege of really experiencing God's presence. I know that He was there.
Yes.
And now, with the lockdown, we have 57 million South Africans that can potentially see God's face, that can potentially pray and kneel before God. What do you think do we need to pray for in this time?
Right. Good question and a wonderful comparison. Well done. Well done. What we can pray for, first of all, is we can pray that as a nation, we genuinely repent.
Hmm.
If you remember in Pretoria in 2018, I think it was, eh? Was it 18, yeah?
Yeah.
When I made a statement to the president, I said, if you put Jesus Christ first, you'll be a good president and you'll last a long time. But if you don't put him first, you won't last. Remember that?
Sure, yes.
Now we see pictures of him praying in government.
Wow.
I mean, and calling a National Prayer Day. And I mean, it's huge, man. It's massive.
Yes.
I want to say to your listeners, we need to major on the majors and not to major on the negatives. Okay. So what are we going to pray for? We're praying for repentance. Why? Because when people repent, then God moves. We know that from Mitchell's Plain. You had a shower this morning. You had water, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, a couple of years ago, you didn't.
Definitely. Yeah.
See, so it's the power of prayer. 300,000 people in Mitchell's Plain, one of the poorest areas of the continent, came together, and you were there and prayed, and what happened? It started raining at the meeting. Do you remember?
Yes, it did.
So there's the answer to you. And we need to pray, and we need to repent, starting with ourselves. Not with the government and with this person, no, ourselves. Lord, please forgive me for being arrogant, for being proud, for being unwilling to change, and change me first. And then my family, then my farm, my business, my school, my sports club, and then building on right up to government. And I'm telling you now, when this virus is over, people are going to flock back to God. I've just heard now, right now, from my daughter who manages our books, you know, with Kum Books.
Yes.
She represents Shalom Ministries there. She, apparently, Bibles in America with Walmart are being sold out. You can't buy a Bible. Everybody is buying Bibles.
Wow.
Why? Because people realize if God doesn't intervene, we're done.
Yeah.
But the good news is God is going to intervene, Beneska.
Yeah.
And the good news is the revival is coming. So what we need to do is we need to prepare ourselves.
And
we need to make sure that when the revival comes, we don't get left behind. I'm not talking about talking about the rapture. I'm talking about revival in this country.
Yes, definitely. I want to ask you this in closing. There's a lot of people that, you know, today being the first day of lockdown, they find themselves in a place where they are uncertain. They might have fear in their heart, even though they call themselves Christians. What do you tell them? What kind of message of encouragement do you give them in closing?
Good question. And you know, this is the one thing that will make people have quiet times. Now, you know, Angus, I'm always talking about that. And I know some of them are saying, Angus, you've told us before. Well, you're not listening. That's why I'm telling you again. We need to give the Lord the first fruit of the day. If you get up in the morning, Vanessa, you don't turn on the TV or the radio, okay? You get into your quiet time room. I get up at 4 o'clock. That's my time, okay? Because I'm a farmer and I've always done that.
Hmm.
And I spend time with the Lord every single day. What you put in first thing in the morning, okay? You read the Word of God, okay? And you can start in the Psalms, and then you can go to the Gospel of John, and you read a section every day, and you write down in a book what it meant to you. Then you start to pray. You pray Acts, A-C-T-S, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Then you start to read the Daily Devotional, and you get your spirit man well, you know, good position.
Mm.
Then you face the world. And then, what is that? Remember that song we used to sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus?
Yes.
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the world, eh? Will go strangely dim in the sight of His glory and grace. When you are focused on the Lord, the things of the world, Vanessa, start to become very small.
Mm.
What's happening with a lot of people? They turn it on the TV, they hear it's the virus, and they get depressed. Start looking to the Lord, and then the virus becomes very small. I am healthy, I'm strong, I'm ready for action. I'm strong as a lion. Do I sound like I'm dying? I'm not dying. Okay, Vanessa, I know people are dying, and that's why I'm being respectful.
Yes.
But me, I've got a mission, I've got a vision, I'm going somewhere. God told me, have you ever heard of a revival train?
Well, yes. That's coming.
Well, it's coming from Cape Town. You better get ready, my girl.
Sure.
And you better be ready because that train is coming. It's a revival train that's coming from Cape Town to Musina.
Sure.
And thousands of people will be on that train, and we're going to hit every dorp in the Platteland, and we're going to saturate that place with the Word of God.
Sure.
Now we're talking about something to get you excited, correct?
Definitely. I think that's
now,
definitely.
What happened to the virus now? It just disappeared, you see?
Yes.
Keep your eyes on the train. And His name is Jesus. And He is the healer. And nothing will happen to any of you without His permission.
Sure, that's good. Thank you so much that you made time to speak to us, Angus. We really appreciate it. And we pray that God's presence will be with you and Tani Jill. And we're looking forward to getting that, of course, that message that you are healthy and healed and ready to tackle the world again.
Don't forget the train.
Definitely, we're looking out for the train. We're definitely looking out for it. Have a nice day. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Again. Bye.
Morning, guys. Hope you are all well and blessed and taking time to spend at the feet of Jesus and just listen what's in His heart for you specifically. Here with us in Robertson, it's quite quiet. Our wine shop is closed. The tourism is closed. But on the farm, Johan can still continue. So his days are, as usual, going to the farm, looking after the vegetables, now and then going to town. So, yeah, it's business as usual. Yeah, at the house, it's quite quiet, but I can still continue with some of my work and also spending time with Jesus. I just want to encourage all of you to fix your eyes on Him and really use this time to, we always say we don't have enough time to do some stuff, but I just feel this is the time where we can just really listen to what He has in His heart for you specifically. And also intercede for our country, intercede for Iris, intercede for people all over the world that's ill, intercede for protection and especially loved ones that's not saved yet. And I also want to share on Saturday afternoon, the Iris leaders group from all over the world had a Zoom meeting of 1.5 hours where we just shared and prayed together, and they also shared about Masimba de Praia and the jihad groups fighting there, and also it was up to about 30 kilometers from Pemba. But we also just want to speak protection and blessing over the people there and all the churches that's been planted. But one thing that came out very strongly was that these 3 weeks is a time to get rid of the baggage, and to, if there's something in your heart that God has been speaking to you about what you have to do for him and you haven't done it yet, if there's somebody you have to phone to connect again with, if there's somebody you have to forgive, if there's something physical you have to get rid of or do in your life, use these 3 weeks to do that, so that we can become open, clean, holy channels for the Lord. We don't know what the future holds. We are in a very interesting time of our history, but the one thing that we know is our rock of salvation is steadfast, and our anchor will hold if we fix our eyes on him. But I think he is asking us, are we really taking this time to be serious about what he wants us to do? So that is one thing I want to encourage you. Really listen to his heart for you specifically. Yes, have some nice chill times, rest times, everything, but also make sure that this 3 weeks really count for something in your spiritual walk with him, not just with him, but also in your relationships, in your physical body, in your emotions, in every aspect of your life. So I just want to encourage you with that. And then also they decided to start a 72-hour prayer initiative for Iris and the whole world and the countries and everything, and specifically for Iris as well and Mozambique. And Iris Western Cape's time slot is on Tuesday night from 8 to 9. So if you can please take that hour to pray specifically with people all over the world, and know that we are part of a bigger family, and we're taking hands all over the world, just praying God's blessing over everyone, over every student, over every base. And guys, this is a time to shine. This is a time where we can really fix our eyes upon him. And people are hungry and fearful and hopeless. And this is our time to give them the thing that is really needed, and that is Jesus, the living bread. So I just want to encourage you, if there's somebody that the Lord puts on your heart to phone and just encourage, or just chat, or whatever the case may be, send an email, send a text message, just reach out. You've got the time now, and listen clearly to the Holy Spirit. So we just want to also say we're praying for you guys. Enjoy this time. Don't see it as a time of lockdown in a negative sense, but as a beautiful gift that the Lord has given us to really go into a place of intimacy with him, with each other, in your house. For those of you who do not stay with somebody else, there's other ways to reach out. So we just want to say we love you. We'd love to hear from you. God bless and stay safe. Bye-bye.
Folks, welcome. My name is Jonathan. I'm one of the organizers here of Our Health Talks for COVID-19 or coronavirus. But let's get started. So we've got Dr. Will Bosiewicz, or Dr. Will, joining us today. Dr. Will attended med school at Georgetown School of Medicine and is trained in medicine at Northwestern Memorial Hospital and gastroenterology at the University of North Carolina Hospitals. And he got his Master of Science in Clinical Investigation from Northwestern University and a Certificate in Nutrition from Cornell University. He is board certified in internal medicine and gastroenterology and an expert in digestive diseases and the gut. He has also won multiple awards and distinctions for his work as a clinician and conducted research contributed to 20 plus published scientific articles and 40 plus presentations at national meetings. He's also the author of the forthcoming book, Fiber Fueled. Dr. Will, thank you so much for joining us today. So let's get into it. I want to start, I think something that's on everyone's mind is just yesterday, or or yesterday evening, it was announced that the United States now has the most cases in the world. I'm here in New York, which is the epicenter of what's going on in the U.S. Do you have any thought, how did we get here? How did this become the issue that it is now?
We have a virus that jumped in the third week of November from existing exclusively in animals to a human. This is a virus that is incredibly dangerous because of its characteristics. It spreads very easily from person to person, and it can be in stealth mode. And that's what makes it very dangerous, because this stealth mode basically means that there are people who are spreading the virus that don't even realize that they have it. And the flip side is that it can also be absolutely catastrophic from a health perspective. Not to the majority of people who have it, but to some. And it's enough to be life-threatening in those cases. And so how we got here is you start in China, third week of November, it jumps to a single person. That single person clearly infects multiple people. Those multiple people, each individually infect multiple people. And what you have is you have viral spread that initiates first in China, then spreads overseas, comes to the United States on January 20th, first cases reported here, and has continued to spread through the United States. It comes as no surprise that the epicenter ends up becoming New York City, the most populous, the most socially dense community that exists in the United States, an international community, a place that has people coming and going on a daily basis, and ends up in New York. And unfortunately, it is an environment in which a virus like this thrives. This is feeding the virus. It's giving it everything that it needs to take off. And we've seen that. And the challenge that we have is that right here today, there are people who have this virus. They don't know that they have it. They may never know that they had it. And they will continue to carry this virus for at least 2 weeks. And during those 2 weeks, if they come into contact with other people, they have the potential to spread that virus to other people. So what we need to do is we need to implement these distancing strategies, which we all have heard about at this particular time. The problem is that coronavirus can wear many different masks. There are many different ways that this coronavirus can come through. And it's hard for you as an individual person in the absence of testing to know whether you personally, when you manifest these symptoms, have the coronavirus and have the potential to spread it to other people. The classic presentation that we've been hearing about for coronavirus is that you present with a fever and a dry cough. All right. The fever is present, according to some estimates, in 90% of patients. The dry cough is there in about 50% of patients. And some will get shortness of breath. And that shortness of breath tends to be the person who ultimately has to go to the hospital to receive their care, because many times they'll at least require oxygen, if not higher levels of care. That is the classic presentation of coronavirus. We need to open our minds to the possibility that this virus can present in many different ways, many different forms. One of the ways that we have discovered that it can present is with digestive symptoms. You may not have the fever. You may not have the dry cough. You may just have diarrhea. You may have abdominal pain. You may have nausea and vomiting. Many of these patients also will have what we use in our medical vernacular as anorexia, which basically means the rejection of food. You just don't want to eat. Okay? You just don't want to eat. We're not talking about an eating disorder. We're talking about the sensation that you have no interest in eating food. And so these symptoms can actually be indicative of coronavirus. You think you got a stomach bug, and it turns out that this is the coronavirus. And it may come days before the fever, days before the dry cough. And during that period of time, you have the opportunity, unfortunately, to infect other people with it. So you need to be aware of this possibility. The coronavirus, by the way, just to point out, like I already said, dry cough, fever, classic. Digestive symptoms could be like a gastroenteritis. It could also be like seasonal allergies. Could be a runny nose, could be a sore throat. That may be all that you have. It could also be like the flu. It could be exactly like the flu. You get a fever, you get muscle aches, body aches. You don't feel well. You get that anorexia where you're rejecting food. You think, I got the flu. and it turns out that you have coronavirus. And then the fifth and potentially most terrifying is the person who has no symptoms or virtually none at all. And that person has the potential to spread this virus to other people who get very sick. And they don't realize it. And this is why we have to take these strategies so seriously, where basically each one of us, if we behave as if we have the virus, if we behave as if we have the virus right now, then we will not be spreading the virus to other people, right? And it's when we relax on that approach, when we say, you know what, no big deal. There's a party. We've been planning this party for months. I'm just going to go for a little bit. That's when we run into trouble. To me, there's a distinction between the first layer of protection is the point at which we acknowledge the possibility that this could be the coronavirus. And that becomes important because if you think you have the coronavirus, that is your opportunity to double and triple down on these physical distancing strategies that we're talking about so that you don't get someone else sick. All right. So that is phase number one. Any person with new symptoms, the bottom line is whether it is diarrhea, whether it is a loss of appetite, nausea, abdominal pain, or talking about the other respiratory symptoms or runny nose or body aches or fever. If you have new symptoms, you should act as if you have the virus. All right. That's phase number one. The follow-up question, Jonathan, is at what point do you contact your doctor? We don't want to overrun our emergency rooms and our healthcare system with phone calls and ER visits at the lowest level. We also don't want to wait too long. There was a study published in the American College of Gastroenterology in the Red Journal, the American Journal of Gastroenterology, that said that people who have these digestive symptoms are waiting too long to go to the hospital. If there is intensity to the symptoms, if they are revving up, and particularly if you spike a fever, from my perspective, you have met the threshold by which you should be in contact with your doctor and ideally getting tested. I don't have control over the supply of tests. We do need to ration them at this particular moment. My hope is that there is a day very, very, very soon, meaning in the next 2 weeks, where the testing supply is much more in place and we don't have to ration tests. We can lower our threshold and people that have simple diarrhea can go and get tested.
Got it. That's great. You mentioned tests, and I think we've heard that word a lot. As a quick explainer, could you just explain what the coronavirus test is so folks who are unfamiliar can have an appreciation for what we're talking about?
Sure. So what we're doing is conceptually quite similar to an influenza swab. So it's a nasopharyngeal swab. So the doctor will actually take something that's conceptually similar to a Q-tip and place it up into your nose, and they will obtain a specimen from the back of your nose to basically run for the coronavirus test, to identify whether or not the coronavirus is there. What I've been hearing from colleagues who, because of course I'm a practicing gastroenterologist, I'm in the hospital, I'm talking to my friends who also work in the hospital. We have cases here in Charleston. It's not a pleasant thing. What I've been hearing from colleagues is that currently it's taking about 4 days. The FDA recently approved a test that takes 45 minutes. The hope is that we can roll out that test with supply as quickly as possible so that we can get very quick results. But currently the test is a nasopharyngeal swab. And then what they're going to do is they'll tell you to go home, quarantine yourself, and we'll call you with the results. That's typically what's happening.
This new test, this 45-minute one, is that also a nasal swab?
I believe that is also a nasal swab because that's the best location for us to obtain the information on the presence or absence of the virus. One thing, by the way, Jonathan, I hope you don't mind me jumping in and saying this.
Please.
I really want to point out to people one thing, because I hear a lot of people saying, oh, the cases that we're detecting now are cases that have been there for months. And it's just a testing issue. Now that we have tests, now that we're producing more tests, we're finding more cases because we just have more tests. Okay, it is true that if you test more people, you will find more cases. There's no question on that, and I wouldn't dispute that. And we can talk more about what information we have and how we should be interpreting it if you want to. But I want people to understand the current test that exists only identifies an active infection. it only identifies an active infection. So if you were infected in January or February, you are not testing positive right now. So when we say, look at this curve, it's revving up, it's ramping up, we are not capturing prior cases. We're capturing current cases. That's the only cases we can capture. There will be a test, Jonathan, that comes out hopefully in the next few weeks, which is what we call a serology test. And what you're looking at is when the immune system comes into contact with a virus or with a foreign pathogen of any variety, the immune system will mold itself and create an antibody to neutralize that foreign entity. In the case of a virus, it will create an antibody to fight the virus. If your immune system had never seen the virus, you will not have that antibody. And so what they're developing is a test to look for the presence of the antibody. Why would that be relevant? The reason why that's relevant, Jonathan, is that we also want to know who has been exposed. Because if you have been exposed, it may be entirely possible for you to return to work and not to transfer the infection to other people. If you have cleared the infection, you are now immune. That's what we hope. But that test is not available yet.
Actually, that, you brought up a great point. There are a number of articles I saw making the rounds about this subject yesterday, and I'm going to digress from our scripted questions for a moment to ask about this. This idea that if you have had the virus once, you've made it through the 14-day period, are you quote-unquote immune from having it again? Is there enough science out there yet to be able to make that statement? Is this something that people are, it's a hypothesis that's being reviewed? How should folks think about that if they're reading any of these articles being published around that idea?
Zoom out for a moment. Let's look at the big picture. I don't love saying this, but what we don't know about this virus right now is how much it can mutate. And if it mutates substantially, there is entirely the chance that you could be exposed in 2020, clear the infection, and in 2021, a new version of the virus comes through, and you are still potentially susceptible to it. That would be conceptually similar to what we see with the flu. The flu comes through every year. We create a new vaccine every year. And if you were infected last year, you could still get the flu this year. So, from our perspective, we can't reliably say, Jonathan, because we can't answer the first question, how much does this virus mutate? We can't reliably say that a person who is exposed is completely clear and not going to get reinfected, but one would expect, and most of the scientific community would say, that we would expect that if you have had the virus in 2020, cleared the virus, then at least in the short term, you should be safe and you should be free to go back to work as long as the virus is clear. This is a person-to-person virus, okay? This is not bouncing from the animal to people at this point. This is person-to-person transmission. What that means, and the critical point when we talk about physical distancing and we talk about quarantine and we talk about all these ideas, what that means is that if you never come into contact with a person who carries this virus, if you never come into physical contact with a person who carries this virus, if you never come into physical contact with the virus itself, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. If you have the virus and you're actively infected and you never come into physical contact with another person during that active infection, you will transmit it to zero people. So from an epidemiology perspective, we use a statistic called the R-naught. The R-naught is very easy to wrap your mind around. What it means is this. If you get the virus, how many new cases are you personally going to produce? All right, so with influenza, it's barely above one. It's 1.2. What that means is that if you get influenza, then you will transmit that to, on average, just above one other person. This virus is concerning. The R-naught that we have calculated is somewhere between 2 and 3. There are other studies that have said because we don't have a reliable estimate of how many people actually have this, because we are not testing asymptomatic carriers, because we don't have reliable statistics, there are more cases that exist than we actually know. And because of that, the R-naught is likely a lot higher. It could be as high as 6. That's a terrifying thing. Because if I personally infect 6 people, those six people are going to infect six people, and that spread is going to go like wildfire. But one last quick thing, the R-naught is not etched in stone, okay? This is not a characteristic of the virus that stays the same constantly. We, the people, have the ability to change this statistic, this characteristic of the virus. With social distancing, you can dramatically drop that R-naught, right? So, Jonathan, your question was, or your comment was about pretend like you have the virus, right? If I get the virus, and I have been actually doing this from the very beginning, and I don't come into physical contact with other people, you know what the R-naught is? Zero. It's zero. You have the ability to drop it from what could be six and violent and terrifying all the way down to zero with your practices.
Really, thank you for saying that. It's such an important point, how much of this, though it seems it's out of our control, there really is a lot we can do as people to control the outcome of the pandemic we're going through right now. And that's something that hopefully we can take home as an empowering message today.
There is a day that all creation's waiting. Only flesh.
There Is a Day by Fat Fish, a poignant song for our times. And I'd like to play you a couple more pieces of music. The first one we received in our inbox here from a musician in Johannesburg who'd heard about the station, and he sent us in his song Booyah. His name is Lungstar Tida. And following that, I'd like to bring my brother Phil onto the program. He is a fine pianist. And from time to time, he makes albums of his favorite songs. And he's just sent me the latest one. I'm sure you'll recognize the tune from Les Miserables. The song is called On My Own. Phil has been a cancer patient for many years, using experimental treatments. He lives on Vancouver Island in Canada. But it's so good that he hasn't let that in any way dent his love of music and making good music.
Never funnin' in our way.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Philip Koppel. One of the things that I did fairly early on in lockdown was to devise a daily schedule, starting with daily devotions and continuing throughout the day with a series of activities that I knew I needed to get into. There's a lot of merit in having a routine at such times. And there's also a lot of merit in singing praises to the Lord. So that's one of the things that we do at around 10 o'clock each day. After the first couple of days, I thought, let's put the microphone onto this and see if other people might even be able to enjoy praising and worshipping to this music. So So that's up to you to judge. We didn't practice this. We just went straight at it, and this is the result. So don't expect professional performances. But if you feel the spirit is there, then maybe you can sing along or even play along. This will replace the normal half hour of soaking music that we end every Worcester Report with, but this one we'll keep on the podcast. I can't say for sure whether we'll have a program next Thursday. Like everybody else in the world, we're living one day at a time. But we do wish you, wherever you are in the world, light at the end of the tunnel, a time when we'll look back on this nightmare and be grateful that we came through it. Although it is so, so sad, and it grieves me greatly that there are going to be thousands who didn't make it. Spare a thought for their loved ones, their children, and their lawyers, who somehow have to figure out the mess. And if I might make one final plea to everybody, make sure that your will is in order and that your relatives know where it is. God bless you.
I raise a hallelujah,
I raise a hallelujah,
in the presence of my enemy,
presence of my enemy.
I raise a hallelujah,
I raise a hallelujah,
louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah,
I raise a hallelujah,
my weapon is a melody,
my weapon is a melody.
I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I'll watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. I raise a
Blessed be your name.
every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all at its feet. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though this morning be over. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your holiest name. Your give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name.
Make joy my When I fall down, oh.
I feel so alone. I stumble down the road of life, a man without a home, a man without a home. I lost my friends and family now, staggered to the felt helpless all the way. Knew I'd never make it home if Jesus hadn't paid. If Jesus hadn't paid. Through thunder and tribulation, the mighty rock prevails. I built my hope so I can cope. In Jesus has light the sails. In Jesus has light the sails. So Father, could you mend me? I need you now so much. I want to see your kingdom come. My life, your will, your touch. My life, your will, your touch. Whatever life will be, please complete this new creation, your good work inside of me, your good work inside of me. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of the Lord? Forever he will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship him alone. I will proclaim the glory of the risen Lord, who once was slain to reconcile man to God. Forever you will be the Lamb upon the throne. I gladly bow the knee and worship you alone. To the river I am going, bringing sons I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come and give me, Lord, I mean to meet you there. I'm his mountains, healing mercy, flows with freedom. Precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer, Lord, I need to meet you there. To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. In these waters, hearing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going to the
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.